Today, spooked amid the data fog, market turbulence testing recent peaks and significant falls as the trade war blows again and AI risks rise. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. Well, this is our weekly market update. We start in the US, cross the Europe and Asian, and in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. This has been quite a week again, as markets tested new highs earlier in the week before being skittled by Trump's latest tariff announcements. And that's reported as retaliatory action to a China announcement on trade. In the midst of a trade war, and of course, in the midst of extraordinary optimistic valuations, thanks to the AI boom. Now, under the microscope from parties including the IMF, the Bank of England, and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, all questioning whether those AI stocks are actually massively overvalued. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq suffered their largest single-day percentage drop since April the 10th. On a weekly basis, the S&P 500 logged its biggest drop since May, while the Nasdaq's Friday-to-Friday decline was the steepest since April. Confirming earlier rumours, roughly an hour after the end of trading, Trump said he would impose a 100% tariff on Chinese goods over and above any current tariff, as well as export controls on any and all critical software sold to China as of November the 1st. Trump and Xi had been planning to meet at the APEC summit in South Korea on the 31st of October and November the 1st. "I haven't cancelled," Trump later told a reporter at the White House. "I would assume we might have it." Beijing, though, has never confirmed the meeting. The new trade steps were Trump's reaction to China dramatically expanding its rare earth element export controls. Terming China's actions as a hostile order, Trump said that he'd been forced to financially counter their move. As I've discussed before, China produces around 90% of the world's processed rare earths and rare earth magnets. Many are vital materials in products ranging from electric vehicles to aircraft engines and military radars. So, was China positioning ahead of the Trump meeting, we ask? Economic tensions have been rising in recent days, actually, more broadly. On Thursday, the Trump administration proposed banning Chinese airlines from flying over Russia on routes to and from the US. And on Friday, the US Federal Communications Commission said that major online retail websites had removed millions of listings for prohibited Chinese electronics. The actions signaled the biggest rupture in relations for 6 months between Beijing and Washington, the world's biggest factory and its biggest consumer. Many questioned whether an uneasy economic detente reached over the summer can survive. Trump's latest move against China shocked markets and threatened further damage to already strained relations between the world's two largest economies. Nvidia, Tesla, Amazon, and Advanced Micro Devices all fell more than 2% after the bell. And the benchmark S&P 500 index slid by more than 2%. That's the biggest one-day drop since April, when a steady barrage of tariffs announcements by Trump stoked market volatility. Investors fled into the safe haven of gold and also US Treasury securities, and the US dollar weakened against a basket of foreign currencies. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 1.9%. The S&P 500 lost 2.71%. And the Nasdaq Composite lost 3.56%. The Philadelphia Stock Exchange Semiconductor Index dropped 6.3% in the wake of Trump's announcements. The Volatility Index, viewed as a reflection of market anxiety, reacted and reached its highest closing level since June the 19th at 21.63. And the yield on the 10-year note fell to 4.03%, and spot gold rose 1% back above $4,000 an ounce in safe haven moves. The IMF, by the way, showed that gold now exceeds one-fifth of world reserves, and despite the significant surge over the past 2 years, it could still go higher as some central banks continue to diversify their reserve holdings and reduce their reliance on the US dollar. dollar index was last down 0.4% to 98.85, but it's still up 1.66% across the week, the largest since September 2024, after the Japanese yen and euro this week were hurt by fiscal concerns in their regions. The yen was last up 0.86% against the greenback to 151.18 per dollar, while the euro was up 0.38% at 1.6727. US crude fell to $58.24 and Brent fell to $62.09 as risk-off sentiment took hold as Israel implemented a ceasefire deal in Gaza after it reached an agreement with Hamas for the release of all hostages it holds. That's a major step towards ending a two-year war, which has loomed over oil flows from the Middle East, the source of one-third of the world's crude. US-listed shares of Chinese companies dropped sharply, with heavyweights Alibaba Group Holdings and JD.com and PDD Holdings all down between 5.3% and 8.5%. Qualcomm fell 7.3% after China's market regulator said the country had launched an antitrust investigation into the semiconductor manufacturer over its acquisition of Israel's Autotalks. All this comes as the US government is currently in its 10th day of shutdown, as a congressional impasse so far has yielded few signs of progress or serious negotiation. This has resulted in a data blackout, with official government economic indicators postponed, at least for the time being. But data from independent sources continues to come through. The University of Michigan released its preliminary take on October consumer sentiment, which is drifting along near historic lows, as high prices and weakening job prospects remain at the forefront of consumer worries. Its consumer sentiment index came in at 55, compared to 55.1 in September. Economists had predicted a reading of 54.1. In the absence of official data, investors, of course, are looking to the US Federal Reserve for clues regarding near-term interest rate cuts. Fed Governor Christopher Waller said that while private employment data continues to show labor market weakness, the central bank could act with caution when reducing the Fed's fund rate as it evaluates the economy. And St. Louis Fed President Alberto Musselman echoed that sentiment, saying that another rate cut could be warranted as insurance against a weakening labor market. I believe that we have to tread with caution before monetary policy becomes too accommodative, he said. A spate of large financial firms, including JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Citigroup and Wells Fargo are set to release quarter results on Tuesday, marking the unofficial launch of the third quarter season's earnings. Analysts currently expect third quarter S&P 500 earnings growth of 8.8% year-on-year on aggregate, compared with an annual growth of 13.8% last quarter and 9.1% in the third quarter of 2024. Should lawmakers in Washington fail to resolve a now more than 1 week old standoff, more numbers could be postponed, namely crucial US inflation data next week. Media reports have said that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the agency responsible for putting together the inflation figures, is planning to bring back furloughed workers to get the data out, although exactly when it will be published was, well, frankly, unclear. A lack of fresh trackers of price and jobs growth has particularly complicated how the Federal Reserve plans to approach future rate decisions. The central bank slashed rates by 25 basis points last month and signaled that it could roll out further drawdowns this year, but without up-to-date data, the timing and scope of those moves remain, frankly, murky. The S&P 500 and the Nasdaq hit record highs on Thursday. They were up 11 and 15% respectively in 2025, and the Dow has gained about 7% year-to-date. Sky-high valuations have rekindled memories of the late 1990s dot-com bubble, though, that burst in the year 2000. JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, in a BBC interview on Wednesday, warned of a heightened risk of a significant Wall Street correction within the next 6 months or 2 years. And many analysts are pointing to the cross leverage between the AI giants, those with funds who are playing big, with the AI innovators who are benefiting, but in so doing are creating, frankly, a house of cards. Yes, echoes of the dot-com bust are there in plain sight. But then, some investors say the latest US-China trade tensions are unlikely to significantly change the market trajectory, with AI remaining the driving factor. We doubt this equity correction will last long, Capital Economics' James Riley said, adding the US benchmarks are still holding relatively close to their recent record highs. According to Wedbush tech analyst Dan Ives, the market reaction stems from China's announcement about tightening restrictions on rare earth minerals effective December 1. After a relatively calm few months and improving relations between the US and China, this step up in tensions has created a white-knuckle moment for the markets, with tech stocks under major pressure today, he said. The analyst characterized the situation as a game of high-stakes poker between the US and China amid the ongoing AI revolution, with Beijing also increasing scrutiny of Nvidia's advanced chips. But Ives maintained his bullish stance on tech stocks despite the sell-off, suggesting that the bark will likely be worse than the bite this time around as cooler heads prevail. He views such market reactions as buying opportunities for semiconductor software and big tech companies. More broadly, MSCI's gauge of stocks around the globe fell 2.11% to 972.25, and European shares ended 1.25% lower, easing weekly gains in a last-minute slide tied to those comments from Trump. And also, investors gauged developments in France's ongoing political crisis as President Emmanuel Macron late on Friday named Sébastien Lecornu as Prime Minister, reappointing him to a job that he quit earlier in the week. Markets were rocked on Monday after he tendered his resignation. French blue chip stocks dropped 2% over the week, and the Bank of France governor warned that the upheaval will likely cost France, Europe's second largest economy, at least 0.2 percentage points of growth and could increasingly sap both business and consumer confidence. In London, the FTSE dropped 0.9% on Friday, and the DAX in Germany fell 1.7%. The German wind and solar park developer Energiekontor slumped by more than 90% after it slashed its outlook for annual income, and elsewhere shares of Stellantis climbed in Milan, trading after the car-making giant reported that third-quarter global vehicle shipments jumped by 13% from a year ago. The announcement gave some lift to the broader European automobiles sector, but that reversed later. British stocks were lower on Friday, and the pound-US dollar continued to weaken, although the British pound did rise again 0.4% against the dollar to 1.3358. Shares of Ibstock fell more than 4% after the UK brickmaker issued its second profit warning for 2025, pointing to weakened expected demand in the third quarter. And in separate news, the UK's Competition and Markets Authority, the CMA, officially designated Alphabet, Google, with strategic marketing status in general search and search advertising services. The decision announced on Friday follows an extensive consultation process that began in January when the UK implemented its new digital markets competition regime. The CMA confirmed that Google maintains substantial and entrenched market power in search, with more than 90% of UK searches conducted on its platform. In other news, British recruitment firm Hays reported an 8% decline in group net fees for the quarter ended September 30 compared to the same period last year. The drop reflects ongoing weakness across both permanent and temporary hiring markets. On a like-for-like basis, Hays net fees also fell by 8%, unchanged from the previous quarter. AstraZeneca has begun construction on the new manufacturing facility in Virginia, marking a significant expansion of its production capabilities in the US. The pharmaceutical giant plans to invest $4.5 billion in the new plant, which broke ground recently. This manufacturing facility represents a major addition to AstraZeneca's US operations. Meanwhile, BP prevailed on its arbitration case against Venture Global regarding the US supplier's failure to deliver liquefied natural gas under long-term contract. The dispute focused on Venture Global's contractual obligations to supply LNG to BP. In Asia, most stocks fell on Friday, pressurized by some profit-taking on the technology sector, while South Korean markets soared to record highs as trade resumed after a week-long break. Japan's Nikkei 225 fell 1%, while the broader TOPIX slid 1.7%, with both indices falling from recent record highs. Losses in tech stocks pressurized the Nikkei, with tech conglomerate SoftBank Group falling 3.4% from record highs, and local markets were spooked by a stronger than expected producer price index inflation reading for September, given that sticky inflation is likely to elicit more rate hikes by the Bank of Japan. But then the BOJ is expected to face growing resistance from the Japanese government over its rate hike plans, especially with fiscal dove Sani Takahashi set to become prime minister as the leader of the ruling Liberal Democratic Party, with a parliamentary session on a prime ministership set to convene in the middle of October. And the Japanese finance minister said on Friday that the government was concerned about excessive volatility in the foreign exchange market. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices fell 0.5% and 0.2% respectively, pulling back from a sharp bounce in the prior session. Mainland markets resumed trade on strong footings after the Golden Week holiday, with government data pointing to a steady consumer spending during the break. Hong Kong stocks, though, lagged, with the Hang Seng index falling as much as 1%, and tech shares were the biggest weight on the index as they fell, tracking their US peers. Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp, China's biggest chip maker, sank 5.2% and was the worst performer on the Hang Seng. Losses in high-flying biotech stocks also weighed after US lawmakers pushed forward a defense bill that will bar certain Chinese biotech firms from receiving federal funding and will restrict American investors in sensitive Chinese industries. Wuhi Aptech and Wuhi Biologics, which were targeted by the measures, fell between 2 and 3% in Hong Kong trade. India's Nifty 50 rose 0.2%, with a string of key tech earnings due in the coming weeks. The South Korean market was an outlier, with the Kospi rising 1.5% to a record high of 3,617.86. The Kospi surged to that record high last week after heavyweight chipmakers SK Hynix and Samsung Electronics signed deals to supply memory processors to OpenAI, which represents a major revenue source for the coming years. Samsung and SK Hynix surged 5.1% and 6.6% respectively on Friday, and SK Hynix hit a record high while Samsung was at a near six-year peak. The Australian share market closed lower for the week after a risk-off sentiment triggered by the Gaza peace plans sent oil and gold stocks down, while the big iron ore miners also fell amid reports of further price disputes between BHP and China. The ASX 200 dipped 11.5 points or 0.1% to 8,953.3 on Friday, despite 8 out of the 11 sectors in the green. On the ASX, oil and gas giant Woodside fell 1.2% to $20.55. Beach Energy dropped 2.6% to $1.13, while Santos edged down 0.5% to $6.58. Index heavyweight BHP fell 2.1% to $42.22 after Bloomberg reported that price disputes between the Australian mining giant and China's state-run iron ore buyer risked as far as early next year, as both sides remained locked in stalemate. Rio Tinto fell 1.7% to $125.15, while Fortescue fell 1.5% to $19.16. Newmont dropped 2.9% to $129.25. Northern Star was 2.1% lower to $24.05. Ramelius and Regis were 5.5% to $3.8 and $5.69, respectively. ASX silver producers fell as the precious metal, which often moves in tandem with gold. It came off 0.6% on Friday after reaching $51.24 an ounce on Thursday. That's the highest price in more than four decades. Unico Silver fell 3.3% to 59 cents and Sun Silver 5.1% to $1.02, while gold and silver producer Kingsgate Consolidated eased 1.2% to $3.970. Tech stocks rallied with Life 360 at 1.4%, Xero up 1.2%, Technology One up 2.4%, and Codon up 1.8%. And L1 Group rocketed 16.2% to $1.04. after Bell Potter increased its share price target by 30%. The stock gained nearly 50% for the week, spurred also by stockbroker Angus Aitken describing the asset manager in an email as a free cash machine that could hit $2 a share. Goodman, Guy Gomez fell 2.7% to $25.69 after Morningstar described its plan to return up to $100 million to shareholders through an on-market buyback as perplexing, given it was selling low and buying high. The research house also warned that the market might be too optimistic about GYG's global rollout. Mineral Resources fell 1.2% to $44.14 amid news that founder Chris Ellison had lost one of his key boardroom backers after Zimi Mecca became the sixth director in as many months to exit. The company has appointed Susan Ferrier and Colin Moorhead as independent non-executive directors to fill the boardroom holes. Other listed miners fell further, with PLS down 1.5%, Liontown down 3.8%, and IGO down 2.6%. And DigiCo gained 1.3% after it announced Chief Executive Chris Mayer had stepped down from its board and was replaced by newly recruited former Air Truck Deputy Chief Executive Michael Juniper. Parenti fell 1% to $2.86 after it announced Chief Executive Mark Nowell would step down next year, with a search for his replacement underway. The Aussie was at 64.74 US cents and 48.47 UK pence. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin prices fell again, slipping another 2.3% on Saturday after a sharp sell-off in tech equities and risk assets as US-China trade tensions escalated dramatically. Bitcoin, which has already dropped sharply in late Friday trade, was last down to 112,370 US. Ethereum was down 0.9% on the day after losing 12.2% on Friday, and the cryptocurrency is down more than 10% over the last 24 hours, while major tokens including Ether, XRP and Solana have slid between 15 and 30%. The digital asset sector was caught in the broader flight from risk following Trump's comments, with fears that a prolonged trade conflict could tighten global liquidity concerns and curb speculative investment flows. In fact, the cryptocurrency market just witnessed its most violent shakeout ever. In the stunning 24-hour period, more than $19 billion worth in leveraged positions were liquidated, erasing months of gains and leaving traders worldwide reeling. Screens that glowed green just days ago turned blood red as Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other major assets plummeted in synchronized free fall. Analysts are calling it the mother of all liquidations, bigger than Luna, bigger than the COVID crash, bigger even than the FTX implosion. The wipeout was triggered by a perfect storm. Over-leveraged positions collapsed in sequence, heightened regulatory pressure from multiple jurisdictions, and a sudden loss of investor confidence following the implosion of several highly speculative tokens. As automated liquidation engines kicked in, billions of dollars vanished from the markets within hours. Veteran traders compared the chaos to a financial hurricane. Exchanges experienced record traffic as investors scrambled to close positions. Stable coins briefly depegged, and panic rippled through the DeFi protocols that had long been considered secure. Sentiment collapsed faster than prices, reinforcing the cycle of fear that gripped the global crypto landscape. As one post called it, crypto is a rigged casino, and today's events proves it beyond doubt. A single colossal Bitcoin whale shorted at the peak, then just minutes before the market-shattering crash, piled on millions more in shorts. At the very bottom of the drop, he closed 90% of his Bitcoin short and completely exited his Ethereum short, pocketing somewhere between $190 and $200 million in a single day. That's the only instance we can trace, but speculation is rampant that the scale was far larger and extended across other exchanges. So, he said, don't be naive. This wasn't luck. Someone was either manipulating the market or front-running it. Either way, the collapse was engineered, and the investors have every reason to be alarmed. Well, standing back, as I've been suggesting, things are getting tricky, and we're only in the first half of October, which is often a down month. Prices are definitely too high, are likely to correct, but the path of correction and the amount of volatility is highly uncertain. Hang on to your hats. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.